Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Robinson's on him. Tatum maneuvering.
Kevin Harlan last night on the call, they did it again. The Knicks rallied from 20 down in the second half to win a game on the road to take a 2-0 series lead in the conference semifinals. A lot of discussion about why this has happened. Unprecedented in the history of the NBA postseason to have a team win consecutive games after trailing by 20 in both of them. I think the Celtics had the yips last night. More on that coming up. Today on the show at 12 noon, Cody Benjamin, who writes for CBSSports.com, wrote a story yesterday ranking quarterbacks. He did his post-draft NFL QB power rankings. Guess who number one was. We'll get to that on the show today. Cody will join us at 12. You'll hear Joe Beninati on the show today as the Caps try to even up the series tonight at home against Carolina. They'll have to play better. How much better? Maybe not that much better, because as poorly as they played, they still were in an overtime game in game one, but certainly looking to see what kind of adjustments Spencer Carberry makes tonight in game two. And the Post just put out a poll which reflects interest level among D.C. residents in a new stadium at RFK. I do want to start, though, with the NBA playoffs. Because this is honestly what I've been into, and I know more than maybe I have alluded to of you are into this. It's been a crazy NBA postseason so far. There have been a couple of nights that have been rough, but just kind of going back to last, you know, Wednesday night in particular, or go back to last Tuesday night, the last week has been insane. The Pacers had a ridiculous comeback to beat the Bucks. They were down by 7 with 35 seconds to go, came back to win a game. The Pistons staved off elimination and won in the Garden. The Knicks eventually won that series. The Timberwolves eliminated the Lakers in 5, including winning in LA in game 5. And then it was another thriller between the Knicks and the Pistons, and then the Clippers and the Nuggets went to a seventh game, and the Rockets and the Warriors went to a seventh game, which was insane on Sunday night to see Golden State, who had been beaten handily in two straight games, come back to win on the road with Buddy Hield scoring 33 and Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler's experience prevailing. And then Monday night, we had the first of the two 20-point comebacks by the Knicks in Boston Garden. The same night, the Nuggets pulled out a miracle win over Oklahoma City. Tuesday night, the Pacers pulled out just an unbelievable down seven with 40 seconds to go to win in Cleveland. And then the Warriors, off their Game 7 win, went to Minnesota, lost Steph Curry early in the game, and still beat the Timberwolves on their home floor. Last night, we had already in the second round, we had had six consecutive road teams win, with the Knicks coming back to beat the Celtics last night before finally a home team won a game late last night, Oklahoma City. They actually might be the story of this postseason before all is said and done, but not yet. Right now, it is the closeness of the games, the craziness of these games, and really the unprecedented, you know, uncharted territory of the Knicks-Celtics series so far. So that's where I will start. Because Boston on Monday night in Game 1 at home against the Knicks missed the most three-pointers in the history of the NBA postseason. They were 15 of 60. They missed 45 three-pointers. It had never happened in the history of the NBA playoffs. They blew a 20-point lead, and they lost in overtime 108 to 105. They continued to shoot threes even though they were missing them, expecting eventually that they would start to go in. Boston, when they shoot below 30% from the three-point line, is 50-50 in games. When they're over 30%, I'm not saying over 35% or over 38% or over 40%, just over 30%. They win 89% of the time. So I'm sure, and I talked about this on Tuesday's show, I'm sure they're thinking, look, the whole world's telling us to stop shooting threes. That's what we do. That's what got us a championship last year. There were other things that got them a title, including a healthy Kristaps Porzingis. He has some sort of mystery illness and is playing very few minutes right now. Nobody seems to know what it is, and maybe the privacy, you know, rules, laws are protecting whatever it is he has from being disclosed, but he's got something that apparently is causing great fatigue, so they've limited his minutes. They're missing him, Boston is. But Boston didn't care about missing 45 threes, I thought. Some others thought. They'd continue to shoot him, and they would never shoot 25% again. They did it last night. They didn't take 60. They took 40 and made 10. That's 25%. Two straight games, 25% from behind the three-point line. How about this? Last night, in a game in which they led by 20, they led by 16 early in the fourth quarter, they missed 14 of their final 15 shots from the field. They had actually missed at one point 13 in a row. They were outscored over the final 8 minutes and 30 seconds of the game last night, 23-6. And the three-point shot, which is very much the core of what Boston does in terms of their offensive, you know, weaponry, they have shot 4 of 26 from behind the arc in two straight fourth quarters. Meantime, there is some credit due to the Knicks. The NBA's clutch player of the year is Jalen Brunson. Now, Jalen Brunson can shoot some threes and hoist up some threes as well, play a ton of ISO ball. But man, is he a shot maker. He really is. And he has come through big time in the fourth quarter of both of these games, fourth quarter and overtime in Game 1. He had 9 points in the fourth quarter last night, including the game-winning free throws that came with 12.7 seconds left. Jason Tatum last night was abysmal shooting wise. 5 of 19 from the floor, 1 for 5 from behind the arc. Now he's 4 for 15 from behind the arc in Game 1. So the volume of three pointers were less last night. But you could tell that Boston and their lineup, they had what's referred to in golf as the yips. They heard all the conversation from game one. Stop shooting all those threes. When you're missing threes, how about driving the ball? How about getting the ball to the post? Look, they've got post players even without Porzingis in the game. Tatum can post people up. Jaylen Brown can post people up. But they made more of a conscious effort last night to shoot fewer threes. But when they did shoot threes, man, they were pulling the string on them. They had the yips. They were aiming shots. You shooters out there, you know, you don't aim shots. Jason Tatum had a wide open three with about a minute to go in the game last night, and he sat there and he looked at it, and you could see he had nerves. He aimed it. It was off. It was long. New York's defense, outstanding. They made another great defensive play at the end. They doubled Tatum, and he drove the ball and then tried to shoot a fadeaway with 2 seconds to go, down one, and the thing was smothered. The Knicks have played some big-time and very timely defense on Boston. You know, I talked yesterday about this, you know, Legler went on this rant about, you know, rushed shots also equal contested shots, which I completely agree with. Last night, they were rushed, they were contested, they were uncontested, but they just were feeling it. You could tell. They heard all the noise. Stop shooting all these threes. You got a 20-point lead. How about not come down and fire a three 6 seconds into the shot clock? I know that's what you do, but when you've got a 20-point lead, maybe we work the clock and we try to get something maybe a little bit closer, especially since they're not going in. You know, part of me is like, you know, I was thinking about this last night because I was watching a lot of the post game and listening to the coaches and some of the players. And there's a lot of doom in the conversation about Boston. You know, you lose two games at home in a best of seven. And by the way, going back to the Garden, I mean, that is going to be one of the wildest scenes. That arena for an NBA playoff game is incredible. And it will be sick on Saturday afternoon. I believe it's a Saturday afternoon game. Look that up for me, Max. Is it Saturday night or Saturday afternoon? I think it's Saturday afternoon. But the point being, that place will be unbelievable. It'll be electric. And yet, you know what? The Knicks are just minus 115 favorites. Barely favored to win this series. Up 2-0. And I thought about that when I actually saw the line. The Celtics, by the way, interestingly, are still the favorites to win the Eastern Conference. How does that work? Well, Boston would be a much bigger favorite over Cleveland or Indiana in the Eastern Conference Finals if they get there. The Knicks would probably be an underdog to Cleveland. But the Knicks are favored to win the series. Barely. Minus 115. Anyway, I thought about this. You know, when you blow back-to-back 20-point leads, that's the headline, there's no doubt. But the other part of it, and it shouldn't be ignored, is that Boston built, in consecutive games, 20-point leads.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America, decade by decade. Right now, I'm digging into the history of incredible infrastructure projects of the 1930s, including the Hoover Dam, the Empire State Building, the Golden Gate Bridge, and more. The promise is in the title, History That Doesn't Suck. Available on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, how often are you going to blow a 20-point lead? Now, for those of you that don't follow the NBA, a 20-point lead in the year 2025 is the equivalent of like what a 10-point lead in 1995 was. There are lots of reasons for that. Clearly, the three-point shot, it becoming much more part of the game is a part of that. The range of three-point shooting, just the overall skill, shot-making ability. It's really hard for even the best defenders in the NBA to guard some of the better offensive players in the game. We've seen this now for more than just 30 years. We've seen it certainly for 20. You take the top 30 offensive players in the game, you pretty much, to stop them, have to double team them and force them to give the ball up. And even that doesn't work unless you stick with the double. You know, a lot of doubles are half doubles. You know, you double off a ball screen, or you double, you know, without the screen until they, you know, and then you drop, hoping that they'll, you know, you've burned enough clock and now they're going to have to force something, but they don't stick with the double team. To really stop the best offensive players in the game, you have to stay on a full double team and force the ball to go elsewhere. Anyway, 20-point leads, they're overcome all the time in the NBA. But this is the first time in NBA history, back-to-back games, 20-point leads have been overcome. By the way, they were almost identical. The 20-point lead in Game 1, I think, was 70-50, and the 20-point lead last night was 73-53. Now, the lead entering the fourth quarter was larger last night than it was in Game 1, but there was a lot that was similar about Game 2, except for this. In Game 1, Boston was just playing their game. You know, it wasn't smart. It was one of the dumbest final 12 minutes, and I talked about this on Tuesday, that I've watched in a long time. When you're in the postseason, you've got to treat it like it's a postseason game, not a regular season game. You got a big lead. You're not making three-pointers at your normal rate. Let's maybe shoot threes, but let's not shoot them 4 or 5 seconds into the shot clock. I mean, we can, you know, we can work our way through much of the fourth quarter and still maintain a big lead just playing a little bit smarter. You know, shooting threes in transition 4 or 5 seconds into the shot clock with no chance at an offensive rebound with a 16-point lead is not smart basketball. Boston's played two pretty dumb games in a row. The difference last night is there were significant nerves. You could feel it every time somebody put up a three. They shot them, and they kept missing them in the fourth quarter. They drove the ball. They short-armed a couple of the shots around the rim. There was one bucket last night, and it was incredible that New York allowed this. On the possession before the Knicks took the lead with 12 seconds to go after Brunson got fouled, Jason Tatum took the inbounds pass and went coast-to-coast and dunked with no resistance. It was a defensive breakdown by New York. And Boston tried to pull it off on the final possession. They had a timeout. They didn't use it. By doing the same thing, the Knicks were prepared. Tibbs is a really good coach. He may be a pain in the ass for players because he's very much a micromanaging coach and very defensive. But he knows what he's doing. He took Karl-Anthony Towns and Jalen Brunson out of the game in the fourth quarter when they were down 16. He left Mitchell Robinson in the game to get hacked because he's not, you know, a good free throw shooter. He had one of the ugliest free throws you'll ever see in the history of the game. He knew what they were doing. He knew that a fresh Towns, a fresh Brunson down the stretch, that they could hang in there. Boston was kind of, you know, shooting themselves in the foot like they were doing in Game 1. I still think Boston's got a shot to win this series because if they can get over the nerves, and they've been an excellent road playoff team, excellent on the road as a playoff team in the past. Where is that number that I had here a minute ago? They have a ridiculous, with this group, a ridiculous road playoff record. I'll find it here in a minute. But I still think that they are in this series. It's going to be an electric atmosphere in New York. Part of me thinks they have to win Game 3. The Knicks have to get Game 3. If they get Game 3, it's over. No team in NBA history has ever come from 3 down to win a series. But if they lose on Saturday, it completely swings in the other direction. And Boston, at that point, becomes the favorite, even though they're down 2-1 in the series. It's interesting to watch these games. I've said this about the NBA playoffs, that it's the biggest disparity in product between the regular season and the postseason. There's just no other league, no other sport where the difference is that massive. I know NHL hockey playoffs are different than the regular season, understood, but it's so last night's score you know, kind of says it all, 91 to 90. You don't get many of those during the regular season. There is a pressure that exists. There is an effort and an urgency that starts with the opening tap, not the beginning of the fourth quarter. There is a level of defense which these athletes are capable of strapping on people. Now, not the best offensive players. They need help, typically. The rebounding, the 50-50 balls, the chippiness. I love it. I've loved it my whole life. I think it's gotten better over the years in many ways. With that said, I can't stand some of the teams and the way they play. There are things like ISO, you know, primarily ISO teams. To me, that's terrible basketball. You know, the number of threes that teams shoot, that doesn't bother me at all. I think sometimes, you know, threes out of, you know, making a defense work is fine. In fact, they lead to more offensive rebounding opportunities if you've made a defense work. ISO ball is the worst to watch for anybody that's ever been involved in basketball for a long period of time. Seeking out the right matchup and then four players standing and watching, four defenders standing and watching. The Knicks do it. Jalen Brunson is a big-time ISO player. They go ISO with Brunson all the time. He makes shots, and the shot-making and the playmaking is fun to watch. There's no doubt. I actually prefer to watch teams like Golden State. I think they're better coached. I think they make you work harder on defense, which makes it easier on the other end. I can't believe the problem that some teams have with zone defenses in this league. They probably could take really good advice from college and high school coaches on how to beat a 1-3-1 zone or a 2-3 zone, especially when there's a defensive 3-second rule and you can't play true zone. Now, 24 seconds makes it harder, understood, versus a 30-second shot clock. A lot of differences, but these games have been thrilling. Boston last night dropping a second straight home game, stunning. And the way they looked in dropping the game two at home, the pressure that they felt, you could see it in their shots. You could see it in their hesitation. They had a case of the yips last night. And New York took advantage of it, and that's going to create an incredible scene Saturday at the Garden. But I still feel like Boston, if they were to get game three on the road, and maybe it'll be easier for them to play on the road. I think sometimes it is easier to play on the road. Typically, you don't see that in the NBA. Typically, you see teams with home court advantage win, but we're not seeing that in this round. I'm going to open up phone lines for NBA playoff talk. Anything you want to talk about. But I'll start with, is Boston done? Are the defending champions done down 2-0? But those of you that have reached out to say, I do want you to talk more about the NBA playoffs, even though the Wizards aren't anywhere near the NBA postseason. We're going to do it now. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. 0980. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what I think I saw late last night in the second game of the doubleheader. Oklahoma City destroying Denver. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com, or free and live on the Odyssey app.